Welcome to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Maureen shares her personal journey of her struggles with an eating disorder and how that changed her life. Listen as Maureen shares her pain, her stories, and her triumphs. Today, as a psychoanalyst, her mission is to help as many women as possible overcome their challenges. Now, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Hi, I'm Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Welcome to my podcast, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. I am really excited to speak with my guest today, who I think you will find fascinating and captivating. Her name is Megan Bloom, and she is the founder of Internal Dancers. Very interesting, right? And it is a passionate dance reconnection specialist and dance passion mentor. She is dedicated to empowering individuals to free their inner internal dancer and has created a platform that inspires, empowers, coaches, and equips people with the tools needed to do so. Megan guides individuals on a journey of self-discovery and self-acceptance through movement. She has witnessed firsthand how dance can help individuals develop a positive relationship with their bodies, boost their self-esteem, and find joy and empowerment in movement, regardless of how it looks. With a focus on mindset and self-expression, Megan's mission is to inspire others to view movement as a powerful tool for self-care, self-expression, and body acceptance. What more could you ask for? That sounds awesome, Megan.
Well, thank you so much, Maureen, for that wonderful introduction. I am so honored to be here today having this conversation with you. I mean, you are the queen of self-esteem, and as someone who really values the power of having a positive relationship with myself and loving myself, I truly am just so impressed by the work you do and the conversations you have here with people on your podcast. So thank you for having me as a guest.
Thank you. I think of it as really integrating like mind, body, and soul all together. And definitely. So today we're going to talk more about bodies, but yet it is integrated into our mind and our soul as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I founded Internal Dancers, because I believe all of us are dancers on some level. And even those of us who've never had any dance training of any kind have a part of us inside that longs to move and express itself and really needs to express itself. And that part of us is eternal and is forever. And so by empowering and inspiring ourselves to be able to just free up our movement, we're able to really get to be our authentic selves. And in that, I feel like love ourselves more and have a better relationship with our bodies, as well as our mind and emotions and all of that.
All of it integrated.
Yes, definitely.
Can you share with my listeners a little bit about how you got started and how you developed this idea of Internal Dancers, just from your background a little bit?
Yes, it's really been my entire lifetime in the making. I was born dancing. My family says I was dancing before I could even walk. I was fortunate to be able to start my dance training really young, and I dove into ballet, modern, tap, eventually ballroom dance. And through all of my really like serious training, dance for me was always my joy, my place of happy place, my bliss. And I loved it. So no matter how serious I trained, it for me was just equaled happiness. I became a teacher, a coach. Life happens, of course, though, and my schedule got busier and busier. Jobs came into play. The COVID pandemic really changed things up. My living situation changed. I moved into a much smaller space, and I found myself going for days at a time without actually dancing. And I almost started to feel a bit almost like sad about the fact that I wasn't dancing anymore. And it was starting to take a real toll on me. I would say mentally, emotionally, I had more anxieties pop up. I wasn't as happy. And as a naturally really positive person, I just didn't feel like myself. I was dealing with depression, and I was like, I have got to figure out how to find myself again. And so I was like, I am a dancer. And once I realized that I really needed to be honest with myself and embrace who I was, I found a way to really weave a daily self-care ritual of dance back into my life with kind of a no matter what mindset. No matter how busy I was, no matter how much I had to take care of, no matter how small my at-home movement space was, I figured out a way to bring dance back into my life on a very daily basis. And I immediately felt happier. I felt myself again, more positive, more able to kind of handle life stresses and challenges. And I realized that, wow, if dance can benefit my life in that way with that much strength, and I already have such a passion for sharing the joy of dance with people, then why don't I channel my situation into being able to help others? And that's really what led me to found Eternal Dancers and really focus on my ability to help people connect with their inner dancer wherever they're at. So that's the shortish version of a really actually complex story.
Here are the complexities, and I have like so many questions for you too.
Yeah.
I guess it struck me as you were talking, and something that I'm aware of and I've talked about is how our bodies have a mind of their own and really tell us so much when we can tune into it.
Absolutely.
It can give us signs and signals as to how we're feeling without necessarily, our brain fights it, but yeah. Our bodies really tell us the truth.
Yes.
So I just, when you were talking about feeling less joy in your life and because you weren't moving, the energy of moving and dance can bring about so many different feelings. So I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. I really feel like dance is a physical expression that has so many holistic benefits that almost are just as powerful as the physical benefits that come from dancing. When you move, I mean, you're actually creating a chemical change in your body that's helping you be more happy, which obviously directly affects your mental and emotional well-being. I feel like the outlet to be able to express yourself through movement has such a powerful way of making you feel stronger and more empowered in your whole life, which of course changes everything, changes how you make choices, changes how you solve problems, how you handle relationships. Because if you can, transferring that empowerment that comes from movement, the ripple effects through your life are tremendous.
I think of it as changing your channel a bit.
Yeah.
So how do you shift your energy? And also, as you were talking too, I was thinking about as children, and I know you before we started, you and I spoke for a couple minutes and talking about how you were born dancing.
Yes.
And I kind of like when we're young children, we're less inhibited and or uninhibited, I should say. And that feeling of skipping, jumping rope, like all those different kinds of movement that we don't think of as like having to exercise. And we get stuck in this way of thinking about movement as sort of this, like, I have to do it, as opposed to this freedom about it that can really bring about so many positive shifts for us.
Exactly. I think that's why like recess at school is so important, because you have to get out and express yourself and move about. And as a child, you don't have all those inhibitions and thoughts of, well, when I move, it needs to look like this, or what will people think of me if I move like that? And I think for some of us, like that even leaves at a fairly young age, because we start finding out what society and culture expects of us. And I would say, like, even for myself, like I started my dancing and I started with ballet and tap. And I very specifically was learning ballet. And so in an essence of my young child brain, I was like, okay, now when I dance, I do ballet. And it's supposed to look like this because this is what I'm learning. And I remember a wonderful teacher I had when I was about like that 12 or 13 age, when I started doing modern dance, and we started doing a lot of dance improvisation exercises. So essentially exercises where I had a prompt that kind of had a story of how I could let my movements be inspired, but I was really supposed to just open up and release and dance, let go of just dancing ballet and let whatever happened happen. I remember that was a really life-changing time for me, because I realized that my dance didn't have to fit within one specific style when I just wanted to dance. I'm not saying that pursuing dance styles and becoming absolutely extraordinary and excellent isn't absolutely fantastic, but also taking that time to just get to move and express yourself authentically without the constraints of one specific dance style is a really important part of really empowering that inner part of you that has to move.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it just feels like it's so important. And also, as you were talking, I was also thinking about when people, I work mostly with women, but certainly all genders of all kinds, develop eating disorders, is also at this age, like this crossroads of, you know, this carefree, and again, within a range, everybody has different parts of them, to becoming more aware of culture, aware of the world, and feeling like there's so much more pressure, and develop eating disorders around that time. Mm-hmm. And I know for me too, I developed my eating disorder around 13 years old, as my body started changing, and as I started having to get out in the world more, it became a lot more pressure. And I feel like my eating disorder took away so much of my creativity in that way.
Exactly.
So to keep that piece of yourself, to stay connected to it, is so important. And, you know, I think of the term, I kind of like it, but it's called like reckless abandon, right? And as a way of sort of like, it's not reckless in a self-destructive way, but this sort of just like a, just go for it. Doesn't matter what it look like, you know, how it looks, what other people think, it matters how you feel.
Exactly. Yeah, I really feel like what I encourage people to do is, you know, when embrace a daily movement practice and be open to whatever happening. But really for that practice, you got to leave that part of you that says, okay, it's supposed to look like this. Do I have enough moves, or what will I know how to do? You got to leave that like off of the floor, so that you can truly, you know, quiet yourself enough to be able to let that inner part of you that just has to move out, versus letting all of those feelings of it's supposed to be like this and that self-conscious feeling behind.
So can you talk a little bit about the specifics of that? Because I know a lot of people are probably intimidated by the word dance.
Yes.
They're like, oh, that's so not me, not comfortable. So what are some of the things that you encourage people to do specifically in terms of self-care and developing a routine and a ritual?
Yeah, well, I really help work with people to encourage them to create a daily self-care practice of movement at home, totally in the safety and privacy of their own home. So they don't have to feel like I'm going to be dancing in front of other people. But to start with the idea that there's movement inside of me that has to get to express itself. And even, you know, if you have never had taken a dance class before, even if you feel like I have two left feet, even if you're like, I don't know what to do, there's still a being inside of you that really needs to dance and express itself through movement. And so I work with people and I say, let's start moving. Even if you can't call it dance, that's okay. You have to move. And that movement, moving to music and starting to build that feeling like I can move to music, I can express myself, leads you to realizing that you are a dancer. You have an eternal dancer within you that you get to say hello to, welcome into your life, and let out on a daily basis. So I feel like once you call yourself a dancer, once you have that confidence in yourself to realize that your dance doesn't have to look a certain way, you don't have to be super flexible, super strong, super diverse in your abilities. You just enjoy moving to music.
So do you usually play the music? Do you have people like pick the music that they like, or how does that work to coordinate all that?
Yeah, well, I really, I like in my one-on-one coaching, I work with people where they're at and with whatever experiences they've actually had. And so I start with smaller exercises and we start to expand from there. So a lot of what I do is leading guided dance improvisation experiences or guided movement experiences, where depending upon their situation, like if they're working with a really small movement space and feel like they can hardly move within it, then we'll start there and we'll really work on the mindset and perspective that even within a small movement space, you can experience a lot of physical movement in expression. And that a lot of it's through mindset of how we see our space or how we see our abilities affects what we're able to do. And from there, we'll start to grow. So I will select different music, lead them verbally through a movement experience. Like guided dance improvisation essentially is a way for me to give prompts or cues for the people I work with to start exploring, like explore circular shapes and with no expectation of what that shape's supposed to be, but let the idea of, say, circles inspire your movement, perhaps different textures. Like, let's get really grounded and earthy and let our movements be more heavy and weighted. And we kind of go through a series of prompts designed to kind of help free them from their constraints. Sometimes people just need a support system, I would say, or like a voice to say, you can do this and you deserve to take the time to give yourself a daily self-care ritual. And so then it's less of me leading them through a dance experience, but more about me being their kind of accountability coach to check in with them. So I would say both scenarios come up where I'm actually leading specific movement exercises, as well as there's just that conversation happening back and forth and kind of I'm their accountability partner.
Well, you answered my question, because I was going to ask you about if you give prompts and sort of how you help guide them.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you incorporate a variety of different, like you said, textures, shapes. Do you use nature at all? Well, you said ground.
All the time. Yes, I use nature all the time. So I have been often throughout our I travel a lot, over through the Western United States. And I love nature. I spend a lot of time in nature and the outdoors really inspire me. And so many times I have been found dancing in nature. I would say for me, connecting to all of who I am, kind of would say connecting to nature always makes me feel happier and I would say builds my own feeling of empowerment and confidence in myself. And so whether I'm in the coastal redwoods among the giants, and I'll channel, I would say, my wonderment and awe for the beautiful giant trees through my movement and start dancing. And I would say some of my experiences of actually dancing in different wild or natural places has been some of the most meaningful dance I've ever experienced, even more than special performances. So with my movement prompts, in my online course I have, a lot of my course, I'm leading guided movement improvisations that kind of build upon themselves to be able to help people free that inner mover inside of them through my coaching. I give a lot of guided prompts. And then also online, almost daily, I share a very short 1-minute improvisation post to be like, give this a try. Let the idea of moving like a cat inspire your movement today. And then I do each exercise and I'm always emphasizing the fact that this is how I move and interpret this prompt that I'm supplying you. But your movement's going to look completely original. It's going to be your movement. And so let this idea inspire you. I feel like the power of having prompts or guided improvisation exercises helps keep you challenged and creative. for me, like I would say, like I could turn music on that I like every day and dance, but it might kind of stay similar from day to day. But if I challenge myself to be like, I'm going to move with a focus on, you know, really staccato sharp lines, or today I'm going to move and have it be really smooth, and I'm going to explore the relationship between dancing low to the ground and then moving up into the higher space, then that gives me a sense of challenge and excitement. And as I experience the you know, trying and the kind of the playful curiosity of that, of those different types of movement, I would say it makes me feel more empowered and builds my self-esteem as a mover. And so that's something I really try to share with all the people I work with.
Well, it's such a wide range.
Yeah.
And again, I love the idea of nature because I feel like nature reflects so much of our human spirit.
You know, yes.
Things blooming, a storm coming. How do you get through that storm? Like, how do you know that there's a blue sky up there? How, like, I think of it, it's starting to feel a little bit like spring here in the East Coast.
Yeah.
Or the wonder of just seeing the flowers start to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
So exhilarating and hopeful.
Yes. And don't you feel like sometimes you go like, you feel that wonder for those new spring blooms, but do you ever go like, how do I express that wonder? Like, do you say, wow, that's beautiful? But then sometimes I feel like that's almost not enough. And that's when I let my movement almost be like, wow, my wonder and appreciation for the new spring that's arriving. I'm gonna let that inspire my movement and just see what happens. I think that's a powerful way of kind of expressing the feeling of wonder.
I do too, because it's not always the words.
Right.
And it's the combination of the verbal, the nonverbal, the moving, all of those things that you express so beautifully. Can you share a bit of experiences that you've had where you've seen movement transform people?
Yes, definitely.
a big ask in that way. But just,
yeah.
Well, how you've seen it inspire and help people with self-esteem and feel better about their bodies?
Yeah. Well, I'll give an example of a non-dancer trained person as well as a dancer trained person. So the non-dancer person, no formal dance training whatsoever, but yet enjoys the idea of moving to music, but can't call themselves a dancer, and started the process of realizing that, wow, whenever I move around to music, I feel happier. And I could do that every day. And then understanding too that like it doesn't matter what it looks like. I think there's that bridge of like, am I moving or am I dancing? And honestly, I feel like whenever you're moving to music, it's dancing. But going through that transition of her being able to say, wow, I'm moving to music and therefore I am dancing. She deals with a lot of physical pain in her body that can really be relieved by actually moving. And so I would say the impetus of like, okay, if I move, I'll actually help my body not be as sore, as well as I feel happier doing it, gave her enough reason to be like, okay, I'm going to take the leap here to try this idea of being a dancer. And it's incredible to watching her transformation of just opening up and being groovy and being bold and being creative and seeing her be so much happy and actually less limited feeling of just like, well, I don't dance. No, now she's like, I can dance. And I would say that watching her self-esteem just blossom has been really spectacular.
Her body, her face, her smile, like just how she just goes from the beginning to...
Yeah, and kind of going from that place of like, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, to feeling like, oh, I don't have to know what to do to still enjoy the process of moving my body. Yeah. Another example is someone who wasn't a dancer as well, but was so, so scared and intimidated to move at all. Like, was just like, almost like smaller in her whole physical demeanor and cried actually because she was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to proceed. But then we worked through that by really finding, getting mindful about our body, really going quiet and realizing that there wasn't anything to be scared of. And then she took a moment and then she said, okay, let's try this. Let's turn some music on and just move and see what happens. And a whole transformation went underway that completely changed her from that point forward. It was like a restraint had been broken, and now she was so much freer.
Beautiful story.
Yeah, it was incredible to witness. Oh my goodness. I worked with someone who is a ballet dancer, and everything they've ever danced has been ballet, and helping kind of open up the gate of possibilities to realize that they can be very focused in their ballet training, but they can also really explore new ways of moving, and it won't ruin their ballet technique, but it'll actually add to their passion, their power as a dancer and as someone who knows how to use their body to create, you know, beautiful shapes and lines. You know, let the strength and the vocabulary of the ballet actually add to the ability to move creatively versus have it be a constraint to be like, well, I can only move this certain way.
I love the fact that you work with people where they are.
Yes.
Whether they've had an injury. I think of people with disabilities, with pain, you know, who've had professional training, just the range and how you really tailor it to and help and encourage people to meet them where they are, to do what they can within their limitations and also challenge themselves at the same time.
Definitely. I would say like this whole experience of freeing your inner eternal dancer, it's a journey. It's a journey of self-discovery and transformation. And we're all at different stages of that, as well as our journeys are all, you know, one of a kind and different. And so, you know, working with people where they're at is the only way to really start that process of transformation, because we're not all the same. We can't all, it's not one way that this life goes.
No.
Yeah. And I would say, like, even someone who can't move around a lot, like, even if you're mostly within a chair, you can do a lot of creative movements. Like, you don't have to be, you know, physically fit to be able to free your inner eternal dancer. I mean, even from just a seated position in a chair, you can do a lot to feel the music and let that move you through your body. You can do a lot with your arms, just your posture, the way you hold yourself, kind of a side topic, but it's related, is the power of watching dance. When I watch dance and when I encourage people to watch awesome dancers, it's not about watching incredible dancers because you go, oh, I wish I could dance like that, or I'll never be able to dance like that. That's not helpful, as you know. But it's about osmosis. Of watching these incredible dancers and imagining what it feels like to move the way they move, and almost using that as like visualization for when you dance, you can almost channel that feeling of, wow, you know, I right now can only walk across the floor and do a little hop. But when I do that hop, I can imagine that I am leaping across the floor and it feels grand and it feels big. And I would say that's the power of also like watching dance. It has a direct input, you know, impact on how you almost feel when you go to dance. And so I think that can be a really positive tool for freeing your inner dancer and starting to kind of imagine all those feelings of empowerment, joy, exhilaration, freedom that dance can give you.
Listening to you, I want to get up and dance.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we just have a few more minutes. So before we end, I was wondering if you have just a few tips, strategies for my listeners to help them get started on their journey.
Yes. I would say commit even just 5 to 10 minutes each day to turn on some music and let your body start to move and express itself. Very important rule, though, before you do that, is to like take off the hat of it's supposed to look like this, or I don't know if I'm doing it right, or I've never danced before. Take off that persona, take off that hat, leave that on the side of the room, turn on some music and just let yourself start to move and express. And then if you're looking for ways to go, okay, I'm moving, but I don't know what to do, then that's something that I really share with people on a daily basis is try this movement improvisation idea. Let this be a story starter, an idea to get yourself moving and just start exploring, exploring the idea of moving to music, even if you have a very, very tiny movement space, even if you've never had any training before. Give yourself the credit. Give yourself the time of day, the value to know that you have a big part of you that longs to move, and it's up to you to say you deserve a little bit of movement time.
To discover that inner eternal dancer.
Exactly.
That person. Yes. That lives within.
Yes.
So Megan, how do people find you? Can you give some information on how people can find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is to go straight to my website. My website is www.eternaldancers.com. So that's just spelled out E-T-E-R-N-A-L, dancers, D-A-N-C-E-R-S. And from there, I have lots of different resources about how to get started moving. You can learn more about my online course as well as the one-on-one coaching I do. From my website, there's links directly to where I share my daily posts on social media. Eternal Dancers is on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and as well as I'm on LinkedIn. So go to my website.
Yes, a lot of resources. And we'll be posting those as well so that people will be able to find you.
Fantastic. And I would say I always encourage people to say hello. Like, I love working and interacting with people. So send me a message or make a comment saying, I heard you on Maureen's podcast and now I'm starting my movement practice. So say hello. I always encourage people. I love connecting with people. And I like writing back and having that interaction.
I think that is really inspiring. And also just to get that feedback, to know that people are moving, that they are getting out there, that your message is getting out there, I think,
yes,
can feel so positive and send out so much good energy.
Yes, exactly. I know how much dance has a huge impact on my life. And if it can have an impact on others, then it's part of my overall life mission to inspire people to free their inner eternal dancer.
Thank you so much, Megan. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and found it inspiring, creative, interesting, and empowering.
Oh, thank you so much for having me as a guest, and the feeling is mutual. I've so enjoyed our conversation here today.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. Please share this podcast if you enjoyed it, which I hope you did, on your favorite podcast channel, your favorite social media channel, with friends, and share the movement. Remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.
Thank you for listening to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. We hope you enjoyed it. Please visit donttrustthemirror.com, where you'll find all our social networking links and can post your stories, comments, and questions. Until next time, remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.